We'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So if you could turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We'll just read a handful of verses here. We'll let you be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start in verse number 24. Verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And let's pray this evening. Father, we already thank you for a wonderful day you've given us and the singing and the blessed service we've had so far tonight. I pray you'd bless this time we have now as we look at your word and we share a few thoughts that will help us in this new year. Help give us a stillness here to hear what you want us to hear and to make any changes or apply whatever you want us to apply from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul here is talking about his life and in essence talking about ours. How are we to picture? He's giving some pictures here as we live our life on this earth. How are we going to be what God wants us to be, really to be successful? We talked a little bit about that on last Tuesday night, how to have a great 2015 from the life of Daniel. Today we're going to look at what Paul says about it. The pictures here he gives are athletic. He talks in verse 24 about running, that we are all running in a race, in a regular race on this earth. Only one person can win first place. they have these huge marathons each and every year. They have them in Long Beach and L.A. and other places. And thousands upon thousands of thousands of people run those races, but only one wins. Now, one in the lady category, one of the man category. There's only one winner. By the way, I'm glad in the Christian life that we run to win, but all of us can be winners if we just fulfill our course. We're not competing against each other, and that's a good thing. So he talks about running. He's talking also in these verses about training. If you're going to be successful at anything, you have to train for it, okay? If you're going to run a marathon, I don't suggest that you spend the 3 weeks before at the nearest buffet, eating all you can each and every day, and eating at McDonald's. Fact of the matter is, I don't suggest you eat at McDonald's ever anyhow, okay, if you're not looking for real food. Training. They work on their diet. They work on exercises. They're getting ready for their events. He also mentions that there is a goal. He says, listen, if you're going to run a race, run to win. Run to win. When we used to, our sports teams, when I used to coach, man, our goal was to win. You know, oh, we're just trying to teach the kids self-control and sportsmanship. Good. The best way to learn that is to win, okay, not lose. Oh, but, you know, you can learn more by losing than you can by winning. Then be a teacher, but don't be a loser, all right? By the way, did the Cowboys win? That's too bad. That messes up everything I was going to say. But have a goal. Now, you may fall short, but it's better to have a goal and fall short than have no goal at all. He also talks about the fact that there are opponents. Whenever you're in any endeavor, you have opponents. Spiritually speaking, we have opponents. But then he mentions, really, as he's talking through here, he's talking about the key to being successful at all. He talks about the fact that there needs to be discipline. An athlete needs to be disciplined. This time of year, people think about making changes. Okay, what do we call those changes? Resolutions. Most resolutions don't get followed through on, okay? I hope if you made some resolutions, today is January 4th, you've not already ditched them. That's at least wait till next week, all right? Get 2 weeks in before you blow those things. But we all make resolutions, if you don't want to call them resolutions, all right, call them goals, some godly goals for the new year. Why do people do that? Well, we're creatures of we're just creatures of habit, and we like a starting place because we always want to be better than we were last year. We just always want to be growing. And so we look at our lives, and typically towards the end of a year, as we get to New Year, it's like, man, we had a great year, but I want to have a better year next year. How do we do that? We set resolutions. Some people, they want to lose weight. By the way, I know where you can find it. There's buffets all over the place you can find that weight, so you never lose it. You kind of set it off to the side. Sometimes people say, you know, I want to have better relationships, or I want to be better at this, or I want to be better at that. I want to learn a new skill. I want to lose a bad habit that I have, or I want to be a better Christian. By the way, it is scriptural to want to change. Okay, that's all throughout the Bible. By the way, the day we got saved, we were changed. God's Spirit now dwells inside of us. We're a new creature, and God has new goals for us. He's predestined us, if we are saved, to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be more like Jesus Christ and continually be more and more and more like Jesus Christ. But why are we like that? Why do we want changes? Well, sometimes there's things going on in our life we just don't like. We've put up with it, and we know it's not the best for us, and we come to a point, it's like, you know what? It's time to make a change. I don't like it. Maybe there's something in our life we want to do. We've not done it, and we just need that starting point to say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to go for it. Or there's just something in our life that we want to change, and there's nothing wrong with this, with having change and having goals, and I think you ought to have goals. If we are to make good on changes, real lasting changes, it's going to take more than just planning. Now, I'm for planning. I think if you don't plan, if all you do, you know, something's not going to happen unless you put effort into it and you put a way behind making it to happen. It's not going to happen just because you desire to have it happen. Desire is a good starting point. How does change happen? It takes discipline. It takes discipline. Bottom line is, it's going to take some effort to get it done. Not just wishing. Not just hope. See, most people just have desires, but they're not willing to put any effort into seeing things change, and therefore, they never change. I like this description someone has said, a description of discipline. They said, discipline is like, if you want to be free to sail the seas, you must be a slave to the compass. What does that mean? You don't just get in a ship and say, I'm just going to be free and go all over the place. No, if you're going to get anywhere, you need the compass to guide you through the seas to get you somewhere. You can't just go on your own. I read a story in November of 1975. There was 75 convicts in a prison in Mexico, and they decided they were going to dig their way out. They were going to dig a hole, and they were going to get out on the other side of the wall. They had no plan. They had nothing. They just started digging. 5 months later, just by their sheer genius, they popped up right in the middle of the courthouse next to the prison where they were all sentenced, and they were all put right back in jail. Now, they had a good desire. They put a lot of effort in. They had no plan whatsoever. That's kind of like it is with a lot of us. You see, only those who are disciplined really ever get good at anything. How many of you ever played golf? Golf is, I can see why golfers use foul language, okay, throw their clubs. It looks easy. I went through a little phase there where I golfed, and I'd go with Ron, and I got tired of losing, so I quit going with them. It looks like, how hard is it just to get up there and hit a ball? It doesn't look, it's just you go up there, you play. I mean, I played softball for a year. I mean, I know, just swing. It's not that easy. And even, you could make the best shot in the world, and the next shot, is like you've never even held a club before. It's very, very disciplined. You have to stand a certain way. You have to swing a certain way. You don't swing hard. You focus on following through the right way. But everything inside of you says, swing hard, buddy, and it doesn't work. But it takes discipline. Anything of any value, if we're going to get good at it or we're going to do something, it takes discipline. Christianity is no different. How often do we blame things on God? Well, you know, I'm just going to give it a go, and I hope this happens. I'm just praying that God will make it happen. It's not God's fault if it doesn't happen. You know, this isn't in the Bible, but it should be. Prayer without works is dead, being alone. Okay? We're not in a man-made thing, but if you don't put any effort in, you're not giving God anything to work with. So there has to be some discipline. If we're going to change, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to be disciplined. Let me give you several thoughts about this. Number one, I want to talk to you about the desire of discipline. The desire. What do I mean? You must limit yourself in some areas to gain success in other areas. Now think about that. If you're going to be successful in some way in a certain area, that means you're going to have to be disciplined to maybe forego some other areas that would keep you from being successful in that area. That's how it works in life. You look at a businessman that has to do what he has to do to get the job done. He'll give up time, he'll give up money that he invests, whatever, because he wants to get the job done. So he'll give up other things because he has a goal to finish and be successful over here. You look at athletes. Athletes cannot train by going to McDonald's and eating all this junk and never hitting the gym. When it comes to time to perform, they're not going to be able to perform. They have to put that stuff on hold if they're going to be successful over here. A parent who sacrifices time for themselves that they can be a better parent. You look at the person or any area of an individual who's successful, and you'll see a person that's willing, because of their desire to be successful in this area, to put some other things aside. That takes discipline. Around here in our staff, we'll call it the Rinse Your Cottage Cheese Principle. It comes from a story Pastor got from a book of an athlete who was training. He was trying to eat the right kind of food. And so, now I don't even know if this is true, but he would eat cottage cheese, but he didn't want to gain any weight. So he would take the cottage cheese in a strainer and he would rinse all the white stuff that's around it. He would rinse that off because to him, that's where all the fat was. So he would rinse his cottage cheese and just eat the little chunks without the white stuff. Now, I don't even know if that's true, but it sounds good. The story's true. I don't know if it helps him. But what he's saying is, I'm going to be disciplined enough to put something aside because I have a goal in mind. We don't even like to hear the word discipline, because the word discipline, when we think of it, is it's restraining. But can I just tell you something? It is restraining. And you have to be restrained in some areas if you're going to be successful in the right areas. Spiritually speaking, we need to restrain our own desires. We need to restrain our own flesh in order that we can be spiritually successful and obedient to what God has told us to do. See, we want freedom. We think freedom is liberating. And by freedom, we mean the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want, without anybody saying, hey, that's wrong. That's not freedom, that's slavery. If you do whatever you want to do without consulting with God, who tells us what we ought to do, that leads to slavery. It doesn't lead to freedom. Those who have no discipline or restraint in their life and always do what they want to do, they never get anywhere in life. Never. Look, it's like letting a child decide what they want to eat for their meals and what time they want to go to bed and what time they want to get up. Listen, you're creating a little monster. Okay, kids do better when there's some discipline there. Here's the time you go to bed. Here's the time you get up. You're not just doing what you want to do because they don't know any better. So discipline. You got to limit yourself in some areas so we can gain success in others. Everybody needs regulators in their life. All of us. You see, most people, they work somewhere and they have a boss. It's like, you know what? I want to be the boss. Now, why do you want to be the boss? Because you're qualified? No. Most people want to be the boss simply because they want to be the one who make the rules. They don't want to have to follow any rules. By the way, that makes for a bad leader. That makes for a bad boss. Because a person usually who works their way to the top has worked their way to the top because they put some built-in restrictions on their life. They can regulate themselves. Discipline is being able to regulate yourself through God's power. Those who make the rules have followed some rules in their own life to get there. So desire of discipline is we got to limit ourselves in some areas if we're going to gain success in others. If you've set yourself some goals for your life, for this year, what are some things you're going to have to bypass that are going to keep you from those goals? Well, you know, this year I'm going to be more faithful to the church services. Then there's going to be some things that are going to come up, especially if you're new at this thing, that you're going to have to say no to because you're going to have, if you're going to be faithful to church, things are going to come up. Now, I've been doing this for so long, things don't come up. Say, oh, you have to be here. You know, you're the, but there was a time I didn't have to be here. There was a time when I was a new Christian, I went to church because I wanted to go to church, and I had to set that in my schedule. And people, oh, let's do this and do that. So I go to church. So that's not an issue for me now. You know, I'm gonna read my Bible every day. Well, what time are you gonna block off and restrict that time from anything else so you can read your Bible? And it list goes on and on and on. So the desire of discipline. Number two, I want us to look at the description of discipline. The Bible says that self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit that we are to possess. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Galatians. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you, get yourself a Bible and make sure you bring that to church each and every week when we come. If you don't have one, talk to your Sunday school teacher. They'll be more than glad to buy you one. And they'll probably buy you one of those leather-bound ones that cost like $75, okay? Just kidding. You know what they'll do? They'll give you one of those starter Bibles. I give those away. You know, little paper ones that are $4? Hey, yeah, Dollar Tree, you can get them for $1, but you got to have glasses to read those ones. But if you read that one, then we'll get you a better one, okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all things that we totally are not are naturally a part of our life, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what temperance is. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. That's discipline. By the way, you know how we get that? We grow in our faith. See, it's a fruit. Fruit grows as a tree is healthy. You plant a seed, you water it, you take care of it, it grows, you cultivate it, and what happens? The natural byproduct is that fruit grows. The same thing is true of a Christian. These areas, if you look at them, they're all rough areas. Now, we could all pick a couple of those areas. It's like, oh, that's me. But there's other areas, it's like, that's not me. Well, how do we possess that in our life? We cultivate it as we grow in our faith. And the Spirit of God develops it inside of us. And one of the things he develops inside of us is temperance, self-discipline, the ability to do the things we are supposed to do, not just doing the things we feel like doing. If we look back at our verses, we see the discipline that Paul was talking about. He talked about running a race. He goes, but one receiveth the prize. Run that you may obtain. He said, give it your all. That's effort we put in. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. He mentions it again. In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we incorruptible. Paul says, if an athlete is training for a race, they're temperate. They have self-discipline in what they're doing. They're not going to do anything that's going to hurt their ability to run that race. When they come in, they're going to be at their best. They're going to have their best weight. They're going to be training. They're going to be ready to run. They're going to be ready to go. They're temperate. Now he says they're doing it for an incorruptible crown, for a corruptible crown. We're doing it for a heavenly reward, an incorruptible crown. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. We have to discipline our bodies. He says in the last verse, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You can take two athletes that have the same skill. And by the way, if you like sports at all, there's always guys that are picked, and some there's other reasons. But, you know, it's like, this guy is a great athlete. He's going to be a success, and he's not a success. And here's another guy with the same athletic skill, and this guy is a success. Sometimes, you know what the difference is? The difference is this guy puts the time in to be a success. This guy doesn't. This guy does things that are hurtful. He doesn't practice it hard. He doesn't put the effort, the time in to have the mental understanding of the game. This guy does. This guy is putting aside some things so he can be successful. This guy isn't. That's what Paul's talking about. I put my body under subjection. There are things that I want to do, but I know that those things are not good for me, and they're going to keep me from being what God wants me to be, and I'm not going to let that happen. We are to exercise self-discipline. As we strive to get it, we must realize that we also at the same time must cultivate it by our close relationship and our walk with God. Number three, I want you to see the development of discipline. The development. What is the development? If we are faithful in small things, we will gradually move on to bigger things. You see, if I want to go out and say, you know what, my goal for this year, I want to be able to run a 5K. Now, I hope that means five houses, not five blocks. 5K is roughly about what? 3 miles, right? Anybody ever run 5K? Anybody ever eat Special K? Okay. It's about 3 miles. If I say, you know what, I've never done it, and I'm irritated with myself, I'm going to go out tomorrow, and I'm going to run a 5K. You better have a cell phone and have 911 on speed dial. It ain't happening, okay? Look, you're not just going to get out there. If you haven't run 100 yards, you're not going to run 3 miles. You slowly work your way into it. You go out there and maybe get on the treadmill for 10 minutes today. And maybe over the course of time, you'll work yourself up to the point as you gradually are growing to the point where you can run 3 miles. By the way, when God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, God didn't say, all right, I'm going to wipe off everybody at once, go possess the land. He said they wouldn't be able to handle that. Bible tells us in the law books that God would give it to them by little and by little. We'll take this city out, we'll possess this city, and then we'll move on. God slowly but surely gradually brought them where they were supposed to be. As we go forward and grow, we will continue to grow, we'll add new things, and we'll become more like God wants us to be. But how do we develop discipline in the first place? First of all, that we must decide that we want to have discipline. We must decide. You see, everything that we try to accomplish, spiritually speaking, physically, it doesn't matter. It all is going to start with a decision that is what we want in our life. We've got to decide. We kind of just float around. Most people live with no purpose in life. They're kind of just, I'll get up today and see how it goes, and I'll head to work. Okay, I got done with, what are we doing? We're doing this. No. Decide where you want to be. Decide what you want in your life. You have to make a decision. If you don't decide, you will never go forward. You've got to be sick of being where you're at before you'll go anywhere else. But it's a decision. Am I going to change? Do I really want to become what God wants me to become? Yes, I want to become what God wants me to become. Okay, now you've made the decision. Now you need to move on to other steps. What are some of the other steps? We need to commit. Decision is the starting point. We cannot be content with the fact that we want to add things to our life. We cannot be content with the fact that I want to be better at something. Just wanting to be isn't enough. There's got to be some action behind it. But there has to be a commitment to making it happen. What happens if we just, wish we want to change? I love this verse in Proverbs 21:25. It says, the desire of the slothful killeth him. Why? For his hands refuse to labor. Now here's what it's saying. A lazy person says, here's what I want to achieve. Here is what I want to have in my life. A desire, a wish, a goal. But they never make a commitment to make it happen, and all they end up being is frustrated because they'll never, ever put the effort in that it takes to achieve that in their life. It's always just a wish. And a year from now, it'll be the same wish, and they'll never be a step closer to getting it because they never committed to do anything about it. And it says that desire is frustrating to them. It kills them because they're not making any steps because they won't commit to make it happen. We need to commit. A decision without a commitment to action is nothing more than a sanctified wish. And wishes are never going to be granted. How else do I develop discipline? We need to pray about it. Listen, we need to put the effort in, but it's not just our effort. It's our effort with God's strength and power. You understand that? Okay? Remember what Jesus told the disciples when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had the three with him. He came back, they're sleeping. He told them, watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, which is great, but the flesh is weak. Oh, they were going to stay firm with Jesus. Their spirit said, we're with you, Jesus. We're not going to, you can count on us. He said, but your flesh is weak. There's always that balance there. That balance between what we want to do and our spiritual desires and our flesh over here, which tries to hold us down. So what do we need to do? Yes, we need to put the effort in, but on the other hand, we need to pray to God that he'll help us to get through. Prayer. That God would help us. Ephesians chapter 3, 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. See, when you got saved and God's spirit started dwelling inside of you, you're a new person. Now when you have these goals and you're committed and you put the effort in to make them, God's spirit strengthens you to be able to do what he wants you to do. So if not, it's just willpower. By the way, you can have willpower, but willpower is only going to get you so far. Because we are not like some athlete having willpower that I'm going to be successful. We're in a spiritual battle and we have spiritual enemies and they're around 24/7 and we need some help. So we need to pray. Next, if we're going to develop discipline, we need to identify. What do I mean? If you're going to change, you need to be very, very specific as to what areas that you want to improve upon. See, we're always very general, aren't we? You know, what's your goal for 2015? My goal is, I want to be a better Christian. Now, that sounds admirable. Wow, I want to be a better Christian. Somebody explain to me, what does that mean? That can mean all kinds of stuff. That's too general. Okay? Instead, why don't we boil it down? Look at your Christian life. What areas are lacking? What areas do you want to strengthen? You might want to look at it and say, this year, I want to be better in my Bible reading. I struggle with that, and that was an area that was keeping you from being the Christian God wants you to be. So be specific. I want to be a better Christian, and I'm going to do it by reading my Bible this year. So what do you got to do? You got to set a time to read it every day. You got to get yourself a plan. You got to make sure you're checking up on yourself. Bible reading. Maybe you struggled in church attendance. Say, this year, I'm going to be faithful to all the services. That's better than just saying, yeah, I want to just... You know, be to church more often. Well, be specific. What do you mean more often? I mean every service. That's my goal. I want maybe you do those things. You're just like, you know, I'm not serving the Lord. I want to get involved in a ministry this year. Look at the area. Don't be general. Be specific. Because generalities are hard to fulfill. I just want to run. Well, what do you mean you want to run? Yeah, I just want to run. Not me. I'm gonna run 30 minutes a day. Now the first 5 minutes are gonna kill you. I'll just tell you that right now. I want to do this. Be very specific. The reason we don't want to be specific is because we really don't want to change. We've got to nail it down. I want to be healthier. We won't spend much time on that because the holidays are horrible. The kids showed me a picture, and it was a picture of Barbie. And it was a picture of Barbie, and it said before the holidays, and it's regular Barbie. And then after the holidays, and she had packed it on. Okay, that's all of us here. Well, I want to be healthier. Well, what does that mean? It means maybe you got to eat healthier. Maybe you got to exercise, whatever it is. I want to be better employee. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to have to pick up a new skill? Does that mean you're going to have to work harder in one area? Be specific as to what you're doing. Identify your weak points specifically. We don't like being specific, I'm telling you. Because when we're specific with ourselves, we're pointed out to ourselves. And it takes us sitting down and like, Lord, where am I deficient here? By the way, you know God points it out to us every time. And you know what areas you're specific. By the way, you know them. God knows them. You just don't want to name it. Just go ahead and name it. It's like when we confess our sins to God. Lord, forgive me. I did wrong. Oh, that's sweet. Well, what do you mean you did wrong? You know, that thing. But the thing you know and the thing that God knows, just tell him. You're not going to surprise him. He's not going to fall off the throne of heaven because he didn't know. Let's be specific or else we're not helping ourselves. And then next, we need to prioritize. What does it mean? We need to live our life by priorities. Now, our priorities come from God's word. If God says it, it's a priority. And if it's a priority, then it gets in our life. Many people, what they say their priorities are and what their priorities actually are two different things. Because I don't want you to tell me what your priorities are. I want to see what your priorities are. And I can see what your priorities are by what you spend your time on, what you spend your energy on, and what you spend your resources on. That tells me all I need to know. And all the rest of it is just this, lip service. Oh, you know, my children are so important. My children are everything to me. What was your name again? Oh, that one there? By the way, we all do that. You know, the kids run by. It's like, yeah, that one. It's like, yeah, I forget their name. So you call them the wrong name. But we don't do anything with them. Then it's not really a priority. A priority gets our time. So make what is important your priority. Once you identify your priorities, we put them in our schedule. If church is important, then it's in my schedule and it doesn't get interfered with. If I believe God wants me to tithe, and the Bible tells me he does want us to tithe, it's important, then it's my budget. It's in my budget, and it gets given. If our family's important, then it's in our schedule, and it gets my time. If the Bible is important, then I find a time, and I read it every day. It's the old illustration we've heard before, but it is true of the sand and the rocks. A teacher came to his class and said he had an empty jar, and he had some rocks, and he had some sand, and he said, The mass of this sand is just enough to fill the jar to the top. How do you get it in? And he poured the sand in first, and then he started putting the rocks in, and they didn't fit. He said, because we did it backwards. He pulled it all out again. He put all the rocks in the jar, and then he poured the sand in, and the sand went to all the empty areas and filled it in completely. His point was, that's how your life is. And he said, the rocks represent the priorities in your life. You put those in your schedule. You put those in your life first. The sand are the other things that aren't the real priorities, but things maybe you want to do, and you fill those in around the rocks. See, most of us, we have it wrong. We throw the sand in first, and then the rocks, the important things, get thrown in if we have time. By the way, you don't find time to do the things that God wants you to do. You make time to do the things that God wants us to do. And then the last thing is this, the depth of discipline. What do I mean? Discipline is something that comes from God, is strengthened by God, and must be cultivated in our life. As we grow, as we are connected to Christ, His Spirit flows through us and strengthens us to do the things we're supposed to do, to be what we're supposed to be, to have the character qualities that he wants us to have. It's a process. By the way, you know why some people set goals for themselves and they never reach them? It's because they set ridiculous goals. See, they're the person that says, man, I have an exercise in 3 months. I'm going to go out and run 10 miles tomorrow. You might want to take a car. Okay? Or have taxi money. It's not going to happen. Okay, we get frustrated and say, man, I need to lose some weight. I'm going to fast for 5 days. It's not going to happen. You might want to miss a snack. Okay, you might want to start slow. We call it the biting off more than you can chew principle, right? You know, man, I didn't read my Bible last year. I'm reading it through 12 times this year. That's 50 chapters a day, man. And the first day, you spend 4 hours and you read 50 chapters. The next day, you only read 30. Now you're 20 behind. The third day, you got to read 70. The fourth day, you quit. Okay? Grow gradually. Man, if you never read your Bible before, you know what a good starting point is? Read it through once this year. That's about 15 minutes a day. You can do that. Anybody can do that. Now, you say, well, I want to read it 12 times a year. Okay, read it one time this year. Read it 2 times next year and work your way up. But come on, don't go from zero to reading it once in a month. There's a lot of stuff in there. Let's grow in these areas. Identify the areas of your life and take steps to make it happen. See progress. You know, you might trip up a little bit, but keep going forward. But it takes discipline. Let's not just set wishes for ourselves. Let's decide what God wants us to do, and let's put steps in place and make ourselves follow it so we can go forward and grow in our life. Let's all stand together this night, tonight. Thank you for listening. Let's all stand together, every head bowed.